Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. It's just possible that unanswered prayer can be a blessing. In fact, our very salvation depends on a prayer God did not answer. The cry of Jesus to let this cup pass from me went unheeded. But if that cup had passed from Jesus, none of us would have eternal life. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Why doesn't God answer my prayers? That's the title of Erwin Lutzer's new book, a book we'd like each of our listeners to have. Here again to discuss that book is Pastor Lutzer, along with Pastor Larry McCarthy.
This is Pastor Lutzer. I want to thank you so much for joining us today as we have a conversation about unanswered prayer. Joining me today in the studio is Larry McCarthy. Now, Larry is one of the pastors here at the Moody Church. He's a pastor of compassion and outreach. But our discussion centers on a new book I've written entitled, Why Doesn't God Answer My Prayers? We've all asked that question. The subtitle is A Biblical Guide to God's Hidden Purposes. Now, when you look at the scriptures, you have to recognize the fact that God doesn't always answer people's prayers. Just no doubt about it. And today we have two examples of that. And I want to say up front that you are going to be surprised and I believe greatly blessed when you realize that our redemption hinged on an unanswered prayer. Yes, you heard me correctly. There is a prayer that was prayed, which if it had been answered, you and I would not be redeemed. I want you to perhaps get on the phone if you have time and call a friend and invite them to listen, because our intention is to help you on your spiritual journey so that even in the midst of disappointment with God, you will continue to believe and you'll be able to accept those hidden purposes and move on. You've heard me say it before, but so many people deconstruct, they leave the faith because of unanswered prayer. In my book, for example, I mention a girl who prayed. She was actually a quadriplegic. This was not Johnny Erickson, but someone who had a similar problem as she did. And this woman says, God's promises seem to mock me. And so she moved away from the Lord. Would you listen carefully? We're going to actually begin with a very famous unanswered prayer. It occurs in the 12th chapter of the book of 2 Corinthians. Larry, today we're discussing Paul's thorn in the flesh. What do you think it is?
I love this chapter in the book. I love this book, and I think it's just going to be so practical. But as I'm reading about the thorn in the flesh, and I've considered this now, he isn't specific. He doesn't tell us. We know he had something that was bothering him, and he was asking for relief many times. But I was drawn to, I think these were hecklers, because that expression, a thorn in your side, a thorn in the flesh, we see that in the Old Testament, in Numbers and Joshua and in Ezekiel, and it always refers to people that are harassing Israel. And so I think, at least, that there are people following him around and reminding him of his past. Hey, Saul, Saul, don't you remember when we beat up on all those people? Hey, Saul.
You know, later on, actually, in this very passage, he says, I'm going to be content with false apostles who harass me and so forth. So you might be absolutely right. On the other hand, I'm comforted by the fact that he does not specify what the thorn is,
yes,
so that you and I can insert into this passage whatever our thorn is. It may be people, it may be a physical ailment, whatever our thorn is. Now, when the Apostle Paul prays, he's very sincere. Mm-hmm. He says, I besought the Lord three times that it might be taken from me. And the third time, the first two times he doesn't hear anything, But the third time, God speaks to him, and Larry, does God say yes or does God say no? What does God say to him?
Well, the answer is no, but that he comes away from it is that this was something personal given to you for a purpose. And I had to linger there and just shut my eyes and think about it. When the burdens come into my life, it isn't just this random, haphazard thing that's happened. There's a specific, these are personalized, if you please, for each believer. They come into our lives for a reason.
And God says, no, I'm not going to give you what you're requesting, but I am going to give you something. I'm going to substitute it with another gift.
Yes.
And that gift is the gift of grace to be able to bear it. And so the Apostle Paul is saying here, Lord, you didn't answer the prayer the way in which I thought you should. I wanted it to be taken away. But nonetheless, I am going to be content. In fact, I think he uses that word, doesn't he, Larry?
Yes.
He says, I'm content with all of these problems because when I am weak, then, not 2 weeks later, but when I am weak, then am I strong.
Yes.
You know, in the book, I use the illustration that when I was a boy on the farm and the only way in which we could get clothes is through a catalog. If we ordered a sweater, saying it was in a certain size and a specific color, they oftentimes would send us a sweater that was the correct size but a different color because they didn't have the color that we wanted. So they were saying, in effect, we're not giving you what you want, but we're giving you something like it, something that we hope you will be happy with. And in the very same way, God is saying, I'm giving you grace. Now, what comes to mind is this. When you have a heavy burden, there are two ways that you can take care of it. Number one, God can take that burden from you, or God can give you strong shoulders by which you are able to bear the burden. And what God is saying to the Apostle Paul is this. I'm not taking away your thorn, but I'm giving you grace. I'm going to give you the strength to be able to bear your challenge. And actually, in context, this happened because God wanted to make sure that Paul would remain humble. And you know, the way in which we stay humble actually is by God giving us problems, and all of us have many of them, helping us to see our frailty, helping us to see that we can't solve the problems by ourselves. And trusting him. And that's what God did for the Apostle Paul.
What a wonderful perspective. I've received this buffeting because of the abundance of the revelation I've received, so I don't get a big head. It keeps in perspective. And I want our listeners to be encouraged with what you just said, that sometimes God will lighten that burden. He'll lighten it up a little bit so that we can bear it, or he will remove it.
You know, that chapter, which is chapter 5 in the book entitled, Why Doesn't God Answer My Prayers? I do tell the story about a widow by the name of Doris. Now, she is in heaven, has been there a number of years, but I remember her testimony. She was angry at God because God had taken her husband, and she thought to herself, God knows that I needed companionship and so forth, and yet my husband died at a relatively young age. Now, here's the thing, and this relates to this passage. She said that she would drive to the church in her Buick, I think that's what she used to drive, and all the way cry and say, your grace is not sufficient. Your grace is not sufficient. Mm. So she was contradicting what the Apostle Paul experienced here. Now, Larry, if you remember, and I know that you've read the book, what happened to her that was transforming?
She goes to a prayer meeting, and she's there with other ladies, and she just unloads. She almost as if she's kept a database of every hurt and every disappointment, and she just laments. It was more than cathartic for her. Because once she leaves there, she feels a burden that's been lifted from her. And she's now saying, yes, your grace is sufficient.
I find that story fascinating. What she said also is, I unloaded boatloads, if I remember correctly, boatloads of self-pity. So instead of accepting her circumstance from God, the fact that her husband died at a relatively young age, she maintained that anger toward God. And when we have that, indeed, we discover that His grace is not sufficient. You know, frequently it is said, in acceptance, there is peace. But Larry, I'm anxious to go to the next chapter of this book. It's chapter 6, and remember, the title of the book is Why Doesn't God Answer My Prayers? And remember, at the end of this discussion, you're going to receive information as to how this book can be yours. But chapter 6, I find this so fascinating. And even as I talk about Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, it's almost as if I want to take the shoes off of my feet. Because we are seeing here, if I might put it one way, God the Son praying to God the Father. All of you will remember the story, of course. I'm taking it from the 14th chapter of the Gospel of Mark. Jesus enters Gethsemane with his 12 disciples, and then he says to three of them, Peter, James, and John, come and watch with me. Now they fall asleep, which is a lesson of itself. But the agony that Jesus experiences, the cup, as he put it, is beyond our ability to be able to comprehend. Because in that cup was the wrath of God. And in the book, what I try to do is to explain how that hell is eternal, and Jesus took our eternal hell, and it was compressed for him in 3 hours of suffering. And there he is on the ground. We find from the book of Matthew that Jesus actually was face down on the ground, and he's agonizing. And Larry, he prays a prayer. And the prayer is this: remove this cup.
Yes.
Now, I want everyone who is listening to think about this. What if God had answered that prayer?
We'd be lost.
We'd be lost. As a matter of fact, Jesus asked the Father that 3 times, remove this cup. This is one of the last days for you to receive the book entitled, Why Doesn't God Answer My Prayers? A Biblical Guide to God's Hidden Purposes. To receive your copy, here's what you do. Go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw.com, or pick up the phone and call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001.
You can write to us at Running to Win, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. Next time, more of this discussion on the why of unanswered prayer. Plan to join Pastors Erwin Lutzer and Larry McCarthy on what happens when the answer is no. Pastor's new book, Why Doesn't God Answer My Prayers, will be sent for your gift of any amount. Call 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.